Hi, this is Sian and welcome to Radio Northleach Book Club. Here's a new segment, Radio Northleach Book Club Bookworms. I've asked for recommendations for great reads, which I hope you'll want to pick up and enjoy yourself. Our first suggestion has been made by both Tony Dale and Tim Hamilton. First, from Tony Dale, who describes himself as T-boy, idle runner, community dabbler, chef de concrete and party lover. The book he recommends is A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. Here's how Tony describes the book. Is it a romance, thriller, novelette? Any of these. A delightful, luscious wander through early 20th century history, as told from a minor aristocrat, reprieved from a death sentence after the Russian Revolution, confined to a luxury hotel as it descends into a bland communist era. He meets and ultimately helps the young lady with the rest of her life, and so as to not drop the plot denouement, succeeds into converting hotel lockdown into a glorious journey, appreciating the finer things in life such as food, good company, friends and philosophy. It is beautifully written with sublime menus, wine, cultural references, and so many hints at the richness to be found in other pursuits, opera, dance, and travel. The reason he recommends the book is that I simply couldn't put it down. Loved the characters, the plot, and the delightful vignettes. Just one where the head waiter, chef, and aristocrat gather for a secret lockdown supper is hilarious. Thanks so much for that, Tony. I completely agree with you. You recommended this book to me and I adored it. I really recommend that you pick this up. I think you'll be just like Tony. You won't be able to put it down. Rumour has it, it's also being made into a film starring Kenneth Branagh. Here's a little taster of the book. Moscow, circa 1922. How well I remember when it came as a visitor on foot and dwelt a mile among us, a melody in the semblance of a mountain cat. Well, where is our purpose now? Like so many questions, I answer this one with the eye-averted peeling of a pear. With a bow, I bid good night and pass through terrace doors into the simple splendours of another temperate spring. But this much I know. It is not lost among the autumn leaves on Peter's Square. It is not among the ashes in the Athenaeum ashcans. It is not inside the blue pagodas of your fine chinoiserie. It is not in Vronsky's saddlebags, not in sonnet XXX stanza 1, not on 27 red. Where is it now? Lines 1 to 19. Count Alexander Ilyich Rostov, 1913. Prologue. 21st of June 1922. Appearance of Count Alexander Ilyich Rostov before the Emergency Committee of the People's Commissariat for Internal Affairs. Presiding, comrades V. A. Ignatov, M. S. Zakovsky, A. N. Gosarov. Prosecuting, A. Y. Vyshinsky. Prosecutor Vyshinsky. State your name. Rostov. Count Alexander Ilyich Rostov, recipient of the Order of St. Andrew, member of the Jockey Club, Master of the Hunt. Vyshinsky. You may have your titles, they are of no use to anyone else. But for the record, are you not Alexander Rostov, born in St. Petersburg, 24th of October, 1889? Rostov. I am he. Vyshinsky. Before we begin, I must say, I do not think that I have ever seen a jacket festooned with so many buttons. Rostov. Thank you. Vyshinsky. It was not meant as a compliment. Rostov. In that case, I demand satisfaction on the field of honour. Laughter. Secretary Ignatov. Silence in the gallery. Vyshinsky. What is your current address? Rostov. Suite 317 at the Hotel Metropole, Moscow. Vyshinsky. How long have you lived there? Rostov. I have been in residence since the 5th of September 1918, just under 4 years. Vyshinsky. And your occupation? Rostov. It is not the business of gentlemen to have occupations. Vyshinsky. Very well, then. How do you spend your time? Rostov. Dining, discussing, reading, reflecting, the usual rigmarole. Vyshinsky. And you write poetry? Rostov. I have been known to fence with the quill. Vyshinsky, holding up a pamphlet. Are you the author of this long poem of 1913? Where is it now? Rostov. It has been attributed to me. Vyshinsky. Why did you write the poem? Rostov. It demanded to be written. I simply happened to be sitting at the particular desk on the particular morning when it chose to make its demands. Vyshinsky. And where was that exactly? Rostov. In the south parlour at idle hour. Vyshinsky. Idle hour? Rostov. The Rostov estate in Nizhny Novgorod. Vyshinsky. Ah, yes, of course. How apt. But let us return our attention to your poem, coming as it did in the more subdued years after the failed revolt of 1905. Many considered it a call to action. Would you agree with that assessment? Rostov. All poetry is a call to action. Vyshinsky, checking notes. And it was in the spring of the following year that you left Russia for Paris? Rostov. I seem to remember blossoms on the apple tree, so yes, in all likelihood it was spring. Vyshinsky. May 16th, to be precise. Now we understand the reasons for your self-imposed exile, and we even have some sympathy with the actions that prompted your flight. What concerns us here is your return in 1918. One wonders if you came back with the intention of taking up arms, and if so, whether for or against the revolution. Rostov. By that point, I'm afraid that my days of taking up arms were behind me. Vyshinsky. Why then did you come back? Rostov. I missed the climate. Laughter. Vyshinsky. Count Rostov, you do not seem to appreciate the gravity of your position, nor do you show the respect that is due the men convened before you. Rostov. The Tsarina had the same complaints about me in her day. Ignatov. Prosecutor Vyshinsky, if I may. Vyshinsky. Secretary Ignatov. Ignatov. I have no doubt, Count Rostov, that many in the gallery are surprised to find you so charming. But I, for one, am not surprised in the least. History has shown charm to be the final ambition of the leisure class. What I do find surprising is that the author of the poem in question could have become a man so obviously without purpose. Rostov. I have lived under the impression that a man's purpose is known only to God. Ignatov. Indeed. How convenient that must have been for you. The committee recesses for 12 minutes. Ignatov. Alexander Ilyich Rostov, taking into full account your own testimony, we can only assume that the clear-eyed spirit who wrote the poem Where Is It Now? Has succumbed irrevocably to the corruptions of his class and now poses a threat to the very ideals he once espoused. On that basis, our inclination would be to have you taken from this chamber and put against the wall. But there are those within the senior ranks of the party who count you among the heroes of the pre-revolutionary cause. Thus it is the opinion of this committee that you should be returned to that hotel of which you are so fond. But make no mistake, should you ever set foot outside of the metropole again, you will be shot. Next matter. Bearing the signatures of V. A. Ignatov, M. S. Zakovsky, A. N. Kosarov. Now, let's hear from Tim Hamilton.
Hello, my name is Tim Hamilton, and I'm one of the biggest fans of Radio Northleach Book Club. I've always loved to listen to books being read, and none more so than Sian's soft tones. So, my recommendation for lockdown reading is A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. And I understand that Tony Dale has also recommended this book. Why did I love it so? Why did I start over again as soon as I'd finished? I'll tell you. Gentleman in Moscow opens with the trial of our hero, Count Alexander Rostov, recipient of the Order of St. Andrew, member of the Jockey Club, master of the hunt. It is a witty exchange, and typical of a book which sparkles with gentle humour, as well as pathos, historical insight, and beauty. Count Alexander is everything we aspire to be. When faced with life imprisonment, albeit in a five-star hotel, faced with petty bureaucracy, opportunity, threat, beauty, and most of all love, he responds with wisdom, wit, and a quiet courage. Like a marooned sailor, he must learn to live within the confines of his small rooms and the hotel itself, and his journey of discovery is a rich image of how the human spirit can overcome adversity to find purpose and meaning. The book was lavished with praise and is a New York Times bestseller, but I'm going to let Amos speak for himself in one of the passages that has long lingered in my memory. You'll have to read the book to find out why it's so deeply meaningful. Our hero, Count Rostov, is on the roof with his colleague, the janitor Abram.
"I thought I heard your voice," said the old handyman. "I'm so glad you're here. You must come with me at once."
"Abram, my friend," the count began to explain, but the old man continued unabated.
"You will not believe it. If I tell you, you will have to see it for yourself."
Then, without waiting for a response, he hurried with surprising agility towards his encampment. The count let out a sigh, assuring the city that he would be back in a moment. He followed Abraham across the roof to the brazier, where the old man stopped and pointed to the northeast corner of the hotel, and there, against the brightly lit backdrop of the Bolshoi, one could just make out a frenzy of tiny shadows darting through the air.
"They've returned,"
Abraham exclaimed.
"The bees?"
"Yes, but that's not all. Sit, sit."
Abraham gestured towards the plank of wood that had so often served as the count's chair. As the count stood the plank on end, Abraham bent over his makeshift table. On it was a tray from one of the hives. He cut into the comb with a knife, spread the honey on a spoon, and handed it to the count. Then he stood back with a smile of anticipation.
"Well," he prompted, "go ahead."
Dutifully, the count put the spoon in his mouth. In an instant, there was the familiar sweetness of fresh honey, sunlit, golden and gay. Given the time of year, the count was expecting this first impression to be followed by a hint of lilacs from the Alexander Gardens or cherry blossoms from the garden ring. But as the elixir dissolved on his tongue, the count became aware of something else entirely. Rather than the flowering trees of central Moscow, the honey had a hint of grassy river bank, the trace of a summer breeze, a suggestion of a pergola. But most of all, there was the unmistakable essence of a thousand apple trees in bloom. Abraham was nodding his head.
"Nizhny Novgorod," he said.
And it was. Unmistakably so.
"All these years, they must have been listening to us,"
Abraham added in a whisper. The count and the handyman both looked towards the roof's edge where the bees, having travelled over 100 miles and applied themselves in willing industry, now wheeled above their hives as pinpoints of blackness, like the inverse of stars.
Thanks to Tony and Tim for being the first Radio Northleach bookworms. I hope you enjoyed their selection and pick up a book soon. If you'd like to be a Radio Northleach bookworm, please get in touch. You can email us on contact@radionorthleach.com or ping us through the WhatsApp group. We'll be back soon with more Radio Northleach bookworms.